On the back of our little music sheet, there's a powerful question, and this is it. Will you allow God to find you? Will you allow God to find you? I don't know whether you've ever lost anything which has been really significant. We're talking at the 8 o'clock, our first service, about families who had lost children. Oh, the stress of that 20 minutes or maybe an hour, particularly when they're little. Some of you might recognize those emotions and feelings, the longing. Where are they? And everything seems like hours until they finally come home. A little story about a significant loss in our family. On Saturday afternoons, we used to go walking together as a family over Harrow on the Hill. We lived in North Wembley. We'd be out for about an hour and a half through the farm, along the path, through the field, through the wood, past the lake, and then up to St. Mary's Church. It took us about an hour and a half. And we went on this walk one Saturday afternoon, and finally we got home, pretty tired, 4 children. And then Sam, my son, who was 3 at the time, looked at me and said, "Dad, where's Quincy?" Any idea who Quincy was? Pardon? A teddy bear, right, yes, a teddy bear. And we thought, aghast, oh my goodness, where is Quincy? So Dad retraced the journey along the path, into the farm, past the barn, along the lane, through the wood, through the lake, up the hill to St. Mary's, looking for this precious little Quincy. He was 3 years old. He couldn't live without him. I returned to the house about an hour later. What do you think? No Quincy. Barbara said to me, "Where is he?" I said, "I have no idea." By now it's getting dark. So Barbara says, "I'll go." Along the path, across the road, into the farm, through the barn, up the hill, through the lake, up to the top of St. Mary's and back again, all the journey. And finally, after about an hour, she returns home. What do you think happened? She found Quincy. Now that's a mum for you. Where was he? Well, here he is. He was in the barn. And this little precious teddy bear means a great deal to us as a family, as you can well imagine. But the reason I want you to identify with that little story is because many of us perhaps understand the emotion that comes with when we lose something and loss. Where is it? What's happened? How can we get it back again? I want to take you now to the Garden of Eden and identify perhaps with the longing of God when he comes to terms with the loss, as he realizes that he's no longer in fellowship with Adam and Eve because of what's called the fall. And our first reference on the back of our little sheet here, Adam hides himself because he has sinned. They hide themselves. And God comes in the late afternoon in the story, and it says in the scripture to Adam and to Eve, "Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?" Now, I want you to multiply that story throughout the whole of the ages for mankind. And I believe that is at the very heart of the human condition, that we are lost. God longs to find us. And so I come back to my original question, will you allow God to find you? You see, as a result of the fall and the loss of Adam and Eve and God coming to look for them, I believe he is looking for you. But because of your constant distraction, because of the preoccupations of your life, because of your worries and your anxieties, just because you do life and you're out there, he can't find you. And you know, you can come to church for years and be very much involved. You can know the liturgy, the scripture. You can be on all sorts of rotas. You can be part of the leadership, and yet you've never really allowed God to find you. I believe there are lots of priests who come and they dressed in the most elaborate garments. They've been educated at some of our best colleges and schools and seminaries and theological colleges, but they've never really allowed God to find them. And you can come to church and you don't really connect with what we're doing here. And you think to yourself, what is this really all about? And why am I here? And why do I show up? And deep down, you've never really allowed God to find you. By the way, one of the most desperate distractions of our modern age, which prevent us from finding one another and from finding God, is a device like this. It can dominate and preoccupy our life. Have you really allowed God to find you? Or are you most of the time just like Adam and Eve, hidden away? Partly, of course, because of their sin, and they covered themselves with garments. And all sorts of things in our life, if you like, could be coverings, because in one sense it takes us away from the voice of God. He wants to find you. In our Lenten groups that we started this week, we started on the first day looking at the door. And this picture from the front of our service sheet here is called The Light of the World. It's a very famous picture, and it imagines Jesus, God, standing at the door, knocking on your life. And there's an invitation for you to open the door and allow him to come in. In other words, he wants to find you. And at the back of the handout, it says from Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." So you say to me, "But Lyndon, vicar, how can I allow God to find me?" And by the way, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. This can't come to you secondhand. He calls you by name. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. He calls you by name because he wants to find you. He says, "Behold, I stand at your door and knock, and I want you to invite me in." So how do we do that? Well, there's a wonderful scripture, and this is a theme which goes through the whole of scripture, that all we have to do is to stop, stay and be present to the call of God. We haven't got to read anything. In one sense, we haven't got to do anything other than the fact that we need to be present to his call on us because he wants to find us. I'll give you a story. A few weeks ago, I was outside of the youth club here on a Friday night. We run it for about an hour and a half. And I have to stand at the entrance in the freezing cold on this particular evening in the darkness. And we have to look at the children who are coming in because some of them aren't allowed in because of their behaviour. So the vicar stands there looking after them in the cold. And when everybody'd gone, in the darkness of the light, I just stopped and I stayed and I was present to the moment. And for about 20 minutes in the darkness and the cold, I allowed God to find me, to be present. I'm going to read anything, no activity, just to stop and stay and sit with God. And in that moment, I had an overwhelming sense of his presence, about 20 minutes. And you see, I think we can lead lives which are of constant distraction and preoccupation and worry and anxiety and fear, going from this thing to that thing. We live, if you like, a complete life of constant activity, but we never really stop and just become alive to the fact that God is in all, through all, and over all. He is more real than we are, and all we have to do is to come alive to his presence, allow him to find us and embrace us. And when we do that, that centered place, and the more that we do it and we allow God to find us, the more we can be changed and renewed and we become alive to his voice. So listen, coming to church can be a huge distraction because you think you've done your bit. You've gone through the order of services, you've sang the songs and then we go home, but you didn't really come to that place where you allow God to find you. And by the way, if you struggle to sing some of the songs that we're singing, like the last one, some people struggle with those sort of songs because they're intimate. And they talk about a relationship with God that comes from a place of knowing. And if you struggle to sing them, think about whether you have allowed God to really find you. Our religion can be a huge distraction. Our religion can be a device of the devil. It can take us away sometimes from just coming and really knowing him and his presence. On Tuesday night, we were with the Quakers from Rainer's Lane at our combined service for Lent. And the Quakers, you'll know, do nothing in church. All they do is they come in and they sit down and they make themselves present to God. They don't even call it a church, they call it a meeting house. Because they know that God is there and they allow God to find them. So, second Sunday of Lent. If you haven't got this book yet, please get a copy of it. Today, God stands at your door and knocks on the door of your life, and he wants to find you in your distraction. He wants to know you. And what you've got to do is just sit and open your life and heart to his voice and say, "Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. I want you to find me." And that's why retreat is important. Because in those places we can allow God to find us. And that's why Sabbath is important, like today, Sunday, because this is meant to be a place where we come alive to the voice of God. He says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And when you get that, it changes everything. Amen. We stand for the creed.